Good morning, Mary Romero. Are you there?
Yes, Lois. Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, and it's so nice. You know, I in reading over these tales and getting to know each one of you, I feel like you're almost part of my family, so it's so nice to at least get to talk one-to-one.
Absolutely.
So welcome, Mary. It's nice to have you as our guest this morning.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm just
Mary,
delighted.
Let's jump right in and
okay.
Tell them, without telling all the details about your tale, because I want people to be able to go and read it for themselves,
mm-hmm.
I'd like you to tell the listeners today, what motivated you to write this tale?
Well, you know, the funny thing about this story is that I didn't even realize it was a story until my daughters brought it to my attention. They've always known how I felt about hot chocolate, but when my youngest actually asked me one time, Mommy, why do you drink hot chocolate so much? I never really thought about it, and that was my inspiration because I really thought, what is my draw to hot chocolate? Most people drink coffee or sodas or, you know, whatever. Not me. I drink hot chocolate.
Interesting.
So I actually had to give some thought to that because it has a very deep meaning for me.
Obviously, it does. Just so listeners understand this, I'm just going to give, if it's all right, Mary, to give a little bit of background about you.
Sure.
In reading your tale, and anybody who does read it, is going to realize that Mary had less than what we'd call an ideal childhood. Your father, in particular, left some rather painful memories for you as
yes.
a child.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately for you, you had grandparents who kind of helped without probably realizing how much they were
correct.
Helping.
Right.
And the hot chocolate is one of those memories that you've latched onto.
Mm-hmm.
Am I saying this properly?
You're absolutely correct.
Okay, all right. So I think that this is a tale, as with many of the tales that came in to Tales to Inspire, they had deep meaning to the people who sent them. They weren't just little frivolous tales.
Right.
And so tell the readers, what was the message, the main message that you wanted to get across?
Well, it was a little difficult in writing this piece. Only because of the meaning behind it for me.
But
what I really would like the readers to know is that even if you've come from a very difficult or abusive or, you know, violent background, there are always ways to try and pick out pieces and parts of your experiences to learn to regain trust. Trust was really the main issue. I'd like them to know that while learning to trust people after being betrayed can be difficult, it's really worth the effort in taking that leap of faith. Also, to be careful not to judge everyone based on the actions of a few. Sometimes we tend to do that without even realizing it, and that we all really need to strive to live with integrity in order to help our children live happy, healthy, and successful lives. So
I
that
imagine
is really
there,
my main message.
Yeah. I imagine that you have been able to pass on some very strong values to your own children as a result of your experiences. What I liked about your story, I liked a lot of things about it, but one thing I liked was that some people just hold on to the pain and can't let go of it, but you turned
yeah.
it around and used it in productive ways.
To be honest, I don't know where that came from, but I have done that since I was a small child. I always knew that when something bad was happening, that I could think about it and go, hey, you know what? This is only going to hurt right now. I can look back on this in a year and it will be over and I won't be hurting. So that's kind of what I brought into my adult life as well. So, but you are correct. There are many people that hold on to that pain because it is so difficult
mm-hmm.
to deal with.
I I think some children and some adults have an inner strength that others just don't possess or haven't worked to develop. I don't know, you know, where that comes from.
Yeah.
If it's something inborn or if it's something you develop or if it's a philosophy that's passed on. Did your mom give you any positive values, do you think, any philosophies that helped? Or was she pretty much in the background?
Right. She was pretty much present in body but not in mind.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think that that's another reason why I learned what not to do, because I could see how bad she was hurting and how she was numbing herself and being in denial, and I thought, wow, this is all happening and she's pretending it's not.
Isn't it amazing
to go either way?
How amazing it is to me that little children can be so sensitive and pick up on all of these things. They may not be able to verbalize it at first, but they have that sense.
Absolutely.
Sometimes I think we have more when we're little and move away from it as we get older.
I agree, and that's why, you know, when I work with behaviorally challenged kids, and it's never difficult for me to think back about when I was a child and how I felt.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of adults don't do that enough. You know, they don't go, hey,
that exploration.
Right. Mm-hmm. What did I feel like when I was that age?
Yeah.
And how am I really coming across to my child or any child? And I think we all need to revisit that, you know, now and then.
Very good point. Mary, this goes away from your tale a little bit, but I was just interested in the last statement you made, that you work with behaviorally challenged children. Could you tell us all a little bit about that?
Well, I've done this for so long that I think it definitely did come out of my childhood in wanting to reach out to other kids who have been in pain. A lot of kids will lash out and do criminal acts. You know, not be socialized correctly because they're holding on to pain without even realizing it. I have always, I don't know, I've been a magnet for kids who've gotten in trouble with the law or whatever, and there have been quite a few that my daughters would bring around to the house when they were in school. And in particular, there was five boys who got in a whole lot of trouble here in the town I live in and were sent to jail. One of the boys came to my house to talk to me, and he said, well, my mom told me I just have to forget about it and move on.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I'm going to tell you something you're probably not going to want to hear,
mm-hmm.
but this isn't really about you moving on. You affected other people's lives in a very negative way.
Mm-hmm.
And he had robbed a home with children in the home. And I said, those children and that family now have to live with the fear that you placed in them. You owe them an apology. And a few months later, he came back around. He had just gotten out of jail, but was still wearing his little bracelet. And told me that he thought about what I had said, and he did write them all an apology letter.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, wonderful. Didn't you feel good that you were able to impact
that way?
Yeah,
you know, but I was more happy for him because he got it.
That's great.
He understood the ramifications of his actions.
Wonderful, wonderful.
So,
let's go back to Tales to Inspire for a minute, Mary. I'm always curious to know how the different authors learned about the project to begin with, because after all, last year was its first year out of the gate.
Right.
Do you remember?
Oh, I absolutely remember, and I was so excited, because you find a lot of contests online, but they've been out there forever, and there's really nothing more to it than you submitting a story.
Mm-hmm.
What I found to be so great about this is that I think that the authors who did send in stories, they definitely had meaning for them, and you could tell that just by reading them. Getting to know the other authors, even though it's on the web, you still can get a sense of what they're like. And knowing that you're going to be judged, you know, actually judged by your peers.
Mm-hmm.
It can be scary, but I think it's also very exciting because I think everyone is in there for the same reason. Everybody
right.
wants to spread a message of something.
I think you're so right, absolutely. That's why I call it just not just a contest, but an Authors Helping Authors project, because it really is. How did you feel about judging as an author? I'll just tell the listeners this. Every author who participates is also a judge of three other writings.
Mm-hmm.
How did you feel about doing that?
Oh, I was a little nervous. I didn't really feel it was my place to, I never feel it's my place to judge, so
mm-hmm.
I think that spilled over into this. And I wanted to be very careful not to just skim through and say, oh, yeah, that sounds good,
mm-hmm.
Or no, I don't like that. I really took the time to read each one carefully a few times
mm-hmm.
Because being an author, you would like the same done for you. So I definitely, I mean, I was honored to do it, and I was also humbled by it. So I thought it was a really great way for you to handle this whole contest.
Yeah, somehow that was important to me. I'm also part of a critique group. And I know I have learned so much by really exploring what other people have written.
Mm-hmm.
And in the long run, I think it makes you a much better writer. And that's why I wanted it. And that has come back to me from several of the authors, that it helped them in many ways to be, they felt more professional by the time they finished.
Right,
it raised
right.
them. And that's really part of my goal. You don't take on a project like this unless you have some very strong convictions. Because,
right.
I know my husband constantly looks at me in bewilderment that I'm putting so many hours a day into this project.
Right.
But I have loved every minute of it.
But
I
see,
really
that's your passion, and you're also sending the message on to so many other authors out there.
Yes.
And in my opinion, it's a positive one.
Yeah,
so,
I hope.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I started to ask you, Mary, how did you first learn about this contest?
It was through LinkedIn.
Okay.
And you had put a post up, I believe,
mm-hmm.
and saying that you were going to attempt to do this.
Right.
And I thought, wow, this mm-hmm. can be interesting and exciting, and I think I would like to be part of that. So,
okay. You don't remember which group that was, do you?
No, I don't.
No. Okay. I know when I first put it up, I was shocked by some of the negative comments that came back, as well as positive ones.
Mm-hmm.
But some people were very suspicious of it. And I had to really explain in great detail on one group, because sometimes I think there are people out there who just don't believe that other people do things for the good of humanity.
Right. Yeah,
you know,
so I agree completely.
There's that great.
But you know what that tells you about those people?
Yes, of course. That's right. Yes,
mm-hmm.
Mary. Before we end, is there anything else you wanted to share?
Well, other than the fact that hopefully you're going to continue this, because I think it's an awesome, awesome opportunity, especially for new writers. And I would like to let, you know, my own listeners and readers know that if ever they find me, they can just find me on the web, Live Life Coaching with Mary Romero, that I write a whole lot, and everything that I write has a meaning, has a moral, has something positive to give someone. And hopefully, you know, by doing this, as well as the other authors, we can reach out and really make a difference in people's lives.
I love it. So. I love it. What a wonderful note to end on, Mary. Mary Romero, I thank you so much for your time. And this interview will be up on the web soon on our Tales to Inspire site.
Great.
So,
and thank you so much for having me, Lois.
My pleasure.
Okay.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.